This is Jordan Secchio. Today on Jay Secchio Live, the Trump administration gets a big win in D.C. court.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Secchio Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
Hey, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. The case is U.S. House of Representatives versus the Trump administration versus the Treasury Department, specifically in Steve Mnuchin. We filed in this case, ACLJ, I'm holding for our Facebook and Periscope audience, the ACLJ brief, filed in D.C. This was the House of Representatives, of course, led by Democrats and Nancy Pelosi, filed a lawsuit against President Trump's national emergency declaration and specifically the allocation of funds to build the border wall. Remember, we're talking about a little less than $7 billion of funds that were already appropriated by Congress that the president has determined through his power can reallocate. And through the breadth and scope of how Congress allocated this these funds, could then reallocate the use of the funds. Some of these, you know, are appropriated out years and years in advance. And here you had not Congress filing a lawsuit against the use of their funds, but specifically one House of Congress, the House of Representatives, and the judge looked at that as well. Now, there's another case out of California that has said that states do have standing and that there's been an injunction issued on use of the funds there. So there's a growing sense in the federal courts where this is will ultimately be coming to a head. If the question, though, is can Congress decide, one branch of Congress decide, hey, we don't like what the president's done with the interpretation of our law. And this judge here has said, no, that in fact, if you don't like this, it's pretty, you know, it gets to the basic role of the separation of powers, is that the court is not going to step in to what is deemed a political question when Congress as a whole could act. And I want to go right to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. Than, on the appropriations issue, Congress as a whole can easily decide. They have the power of the purse. They can decide if it goes through the House and the Senate, and ultimately override a presidential veto on the allocation of funds. I mean, they've got full power to do that.
Yeah, no question about it, Jordan. I mean, we said from the beginning that there would likely be a split in the courts, and that's starting to play out. But the arguments here I found so telling, Jordan, because remember, initially, all of the arguments from the left in Washington, D.C. was that the president did not have the authority to declare this national emergency in the first place. But, Jordan, that's not what they went to court and argued. They argued against this reprogramming authority that the president used for some of these military construction, for the drug corridor money. That was Section 284. Never mind that it was Congress that gave the president that reprogramming authority. So to start with the point that you just made, Jordan, if they want to take that reprogramming authority back, they can certainly do so. There's a debate happening in Congress right now to take some of that back. I frankly don't think they're going to get over the threshold, but the point remains, Congress gave the president the authority to do that. Now they can't ask the courts to overturn it. Interestingly enough, Jordan, the only provision of this that actually required the national emergency, the Section 2808 that was used for military construction, President Bush and Obama used that 18 times. That didn't get nearly the focus because they know they didn't have a legal argument to stand on.
That has been what's unique about this case. At first, there was the outrage, remember, over how can the president, you know, decide this is a national emergency and can he really do this on his own? And you saw the left up in arms. And we went through the national emergencies that have been declared before. There's some that are still on the books that are really, again, when you really look into them, they're really very focused on, you know, something that's happening overseas, not something that's necessarily even directly affecting citizens, certainly not like it is on our southern border and the resources there. That's not where the focus of these cases have been. But I do want to let you know we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And as usual, we're not just talking about it here on Jay Secchio Live. The ACLJ filed in both the cases, the one that's working its way through the court in California. That's 20 states that have challenged this. So Democrat attorney generals and governors there. And the Trump administration has filed their notice of appeal in that case, and now you've got Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats, their fight as well. I'm sure that they will appeal this to the D.C. Court of Appeals. We're involved in both. The ACLJ taking action, not just talking about it, and we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. What's the House planning to do in response to this crisis on our border? Vote on the DREAM Act alone. That's what they're going to do tonight.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The case today focusing on, it came out last night. We're filed in it as well at the American Center for Law and Justice on the side of the Trump administration. The U.S. House of Representatives, again, some ways this is explained as House Democrats, but they are the majority party. So it is the U.S. House of Representatives try to challenge President Trump's, remember the National Emergency Declaration on the border crisis? So remember all the outrage there. And Congress, of course, they said, well, you know, can you really do this? And what about these funds that are being moved around by the administration that we already decided the administration could use, already appropriated is the term that it's used. And what the House did was say, well, we don't agree with this, so will you as the courts, a separate branch of government, step in and tell the executive branch that you can't use the funds this way. And what the court has said in D.C. and the ACLJ position is that that is not the proper role of the court, that the House Democrats alone do not, and the House of Representatives does not have standing to challenge this, that there's congressional remedies. So there's legislative remedies. If you decide that you don't, as a Congress decide, you don't like the way that a president is allocating the funds or using the funds that you've already agreed to and already appropriated, already authorized. And of course, remember, Congress ultimately has a veto power, can override a veto of a president. And so if there is this bipartisan agreement that the executive branch is misallocating funds and not using them in the way the Congress intended, Congress can come together and decide that. So no one is challenging this, the Article 1 power of Congress in the Constitution. The question is, can one branch of Congress say, hey, we don't like the way, so it's just the House of Representatives. That's also unique to this argument as well. The case out of California where the judge came to a different conclusion, which we disagree with, and again, is being appealed by the Trump administration, is states challenging the allocation. So you look at it from a different scope as well. States challenging allocation, and then the House of Representatives challenging the allocation. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I think the big question is, you know, all of this ultimately, this is at the district court level. ACLJ is involved. We filed briefs in both cases. We'll be involved in the appeals as well. These will move up through the federal court system. The bigger question is, how much are we going to have to keep going back to courts and instead of Congress and the legislative power to remedy a problem we all are realizing is very real. And yet, again, if you look at the way the politics is playing out, if you look at the way the presidential race is playing out, it seems like an issue that is so partisan, it's tough to imagine the country coming to agreement on it. Now, the question is it just activists on the left who are kind of refusing to recognize that there can be some compromise on real border security, building the wall, and then moving forward with legislation like the DREAM Act? Remember, we've kind of forgotten about those issues. The Trump administration and President Trump has been very open to having negotiation where, Than, you combine both immigration reform, whether that's something for the Dreamers, as they've been described in the U.S., and at the same time, also funding for border security, including the wall. And no one has really been opposed to the ideas in principle, in the big idea of combining those two, but yet the Democrats, the left, has been unwilling to put it forward to put those items together legislatively.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Jordan. I actually think more of the country is probably already at that point than Washington, D.C. has realized. I don't think the politicians in Washington, D.C. Have caught up to that fact, or at least the politicians in Congress, Jordan. Actually, the proposal that came down the street from the White House on this included a lot of items on both sides of this ledger. It included real border security, real money for full funding of the wall, and then also a very robust proposal to address participants in the DACA program or those who were DACA eligible. That was flat out rejected by the Hill, Jordan. And then the House Democrats put on the floor a bill today that only addresses one side of it, spends $35 billion to create new classes of people who are eligible to stay here permanently that came over illegally without issuing a single dollar for border security. You know, Nancy Pelosi might call it a crisis at the border, but has not been willing to put a package together to address it. Jordan, I got to be honest with you. I think that's out of step with even enough of her voters, her party's voters, that's going to cause a problem for her in 2020. So when you ask the question, how long will this proceed? If there's not a change in Congress, Jordan, I think it'll proceed until the next election. And then I think the voice of the American people is going to be heard. And I think you're going to see a Congress in Washington, D.C. that is going to be willing to negotiate and willing to pass a comprehensive package.
How important is this issue to you? I mean, you know, I want to pose this to our audience. Is the immigration issue, what's happening on our southern border, you can focus in on all these sub-issues, the allocation of funds, the dueling cases, one coming out of the Ninth Circuit, one in the D.C. Circuit, one state challenge, one House of Representatives challenge. You can look at the DREAM Act on its standalone. You can look at building the wall on its own. But if you don't comprehensively look at it and take a step back and realize, okay, how important is this? Am I actually going to cast a vote based off this issue? I'd love to get your thoughts on that, 1-800-684-3110. And I think that it's got to be broader than people who are just on those border states realizing this is a drain on resources at the state level, federal level, and is ultimately something that it spills over to a bigger issue than just if you're a border state. But I want to get your thoughts on that. Do you think it becomes an issue that is signature in this 2020 campaign? It was certainly signature in the sense of where President Trump, when he ran on his campaign, back in 2016, he focused on an issue and resonated with voters. But it's a little bit different when you look at, okay, here we are, you know, we're going to be 4 years later. You've got this divided Congress right now, and one party unwilling really to move on it. And I'm not saying Republicans have been great on this in the past either. I think the president's been very clear in his specific policies and where he'd be willing to negotiate. But I want to get your thoughts on it at 1-800-684-3110. How important will this be for you when you cast your vote? Are you talking about this with your friends and family? Are you talking about it at church? Are you talking about it when you discuss the politics of the country right now? Is this an issue that you're going to? 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. 110, because as much as you can get into the weeds on all of these specific issues, Than, I think the biggest question mark is how long do we allow this to move on in our country? I mean, to me, it's just you've got all these different funds, all these different allocations, ideas. You know, you can have the DREAM Act vote tonight and use that politically to say, well, someone opposed this and they voted against this. I think people are kind of getting sick and tired on this issue. It is humanitarian. It's pretty I think to me it's a little gross as a country that we have this kind of gross abuse of the people that are coming in and not really authorizing our forces to be able to handle it. And it ends up with you've got these bad situations. And ultimately that is what has got to, it's got to cross over, if you will, from an issue that's so partisan into an issue we all realize is a real crisis.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jordan. I think it's going to have to bubble up from the grassroots. And honestly, my genuine feeling is that we're pretty close to that point right now, because I think the American people look at the images they see on national news and see a group of 1,000 people coming across at one time and being apprehended by Border Patrol there at one time, Jordan, 1,000 people in one crossing, 100,000 people month after month right now, numbers that we have not seen before. Nobody can try to pretend that it is not a crisis. Even Speaker Pelosi used that word. So we have to reach a point, Jordan, where we actually come together and decide what the solution is for that crisis. The answer cannot be that it goes on into perpetuity. We can have differences agreement on how we address those who are already illegally present, how we secure the border. But one way or another, Jordan, we have to address the problem in a way that just isn't just addressed by the system being crushed, by the system being overwhelmed. And quite frankly, that's where we're at right now. So I do think it's important to get into some of the particulars. I think the president made a very strong proposal on using different authorities that were available to him. And I thought it was very telling when House Democrats went to court and did not argue that he did not have the National Emergency Declaration. But Jordan, I fully agree with you on the larger point. The question now just has to be answered by the American people. They have to insist that their leaders in Washington, D.C., on both sides of the aisle, quit playing political games and actually address this crisis, both for the people who are here in America, Jordan, and for those people who are crossing. It is a perilous situation for them.
And I've said it over and over again. I continue to say it. President Trump has been very open. You know, people will try to portray his position as, you know, build a wall, and it's this one way or the other. But the truth is, his administration has been very open to negotiating, to putting together immigration reform and border security simultaneously. It is the left that has been unwilling to move. They will say over and over, well, if you give us, you know, basically these amnesty policies or policies like the DREAM Act first, we'll ultimately fund it. But we know from history that never occurs. So you move one piece and the second piece doesn't move forward. So it's got to be simultaneous. But it's not the Trump administration standing in the way of that. It is the far left of the Democrat Party and some of the Washington interest groups as well. So we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And the bigger issue for all of you, as the courts are starting to weigh in on this, is how important will it be for your vote? 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. And there is a vote tonight. We've got to actually call specifically on this legislation because you would think with all the news, and I would say with all the news, if you go to different networks, you see whether it's MSNBC talking about the children in detention centers or Fox News talking about 1,000 people being detained at one time. So different ways to tell the same stories. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone is realizing the crisis that's occurring at the border. Less and less is that a controversial statement, that there is a crisis at our southern border. That used to be a controversial statement alone. That used to be a partisan statement. So we moved past that, where we've acknowledged that there's a crisis. It's now, will the federal government do anything about it? And instead, what's the House of Representatives doing tonight? We've got a phone call about Michelle in Indiana on line three. Michelle, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi. Oh, it's so exciting to talk to you guys. I'm glad you're talking about this issue today.
Thank you.
I just called both of my senators today to let them know that that should be a big fat no vote, because that sets our country up to invite more, and it will be taxing on the American people financially, and it doesn't show that we are a country of laws. And it also, what about the people who are trying to come here the right way? What, the more we let the illegals stay here, the ones that came here criminally, that just makes it the people
tougher for everyone else to do it right. I want
to
explain to people, too, what you're focusing on. This is the House of Representatives tonight is going to be voting on legislation like the DREAM Act again, basically another version of the DREAM Act. If you need a reminder about what that is, it's basically to a pathway to citizenship or legal status for specific individuals who came here as children, came here as minors. So while their parents may have been violating the law, the question is, you know, did they violate the law and should they be given a path to citizenship? This will pass the House of Representatives and the Democrat votes. The issue is the ignoring the other problem. I mean, so it's instead, I mean, Than, it's trying to drive a wedge, trying to make us have to say, well, you're either for this or against this, instead of saying we might actually support similar legislation if you simultaneously secure our border.
Yeah, it's not actually an attempt to get to a solution, Jordan, and here's the evidence of that. There are roughly 700,000 to 800,000 participants in the DACA program, and the White House sent a proposal to Capitol Hill that would include some sort of legal pathway for roughly three times that number, somewhere around 2 million. But with that proposal, Jordan, they also included border security, said if we're going to do something like that, we have to secure the border, so it's just not a magnet for more illegal crossings. What House Democrats are doing tonight is putting a bill on the floor that experts say roughly 2 to 4 million illegals would get permanent status. Jordan, but not a dime for border security is in that. Not a dime to build the wall at a cost of about $35 billion. So while the president asked for, you know, $8 billion in this first year, $25 billion total to build the wall, House Democrats want to spend $35 billion tonight to allow 2 to 4 million people to have legal status and not do anything to secure the border. Jordan, there's only one conclusion to draw there. They don't want this to get into federal law. They don't want it to be acted. They don't want a permanent solution, not only for the border, but, Jordan, also for DACA participants. They don't want a solution there. If they did, the proposal that came down the street from the White House that included much of what they wanted, they would sit at the table and negotiate. They're not going to do that. They're going to put through a political messaging bill tonight through the House. It will pass. It will not pass the Senate, and we'll head into the 2020 elections, if this were the last move, without a solution.
I mean, go to Wes Smith on this. The statement, of course, from the Trump administration opposed to this specific piece of legislation, and they've said, to quoting their statement, the administration has put forward proposals to address the status of the hundreds of thousands of deferred action for childhood arrivals, DACA, temporary protected status, TPS, and deferred enforced departure, DED, recipients, but only in the context of actual solutions that would address the underlying problems in our immigration system. So it's not the Trump administration ignoring the issue. It's not the Trump administration ignoring the numbers. They say there are hundreds of thousands and that the amount of people that this needs to affect. But it is the Trump administration saying you can't have this one-sided approach, because the crisis won't be solved.
Right. What the Trump administration is trying to do is actually fix the problem. We have a major, major crisis on the border. It's a crisis related to humanitarian issues as well as national security issues. Department of Homeland Security just today said that based on the monthly rate of illegal immigrants crossing the border that they catch, this is not the ones they don't catch, that for the first time in history, by the end of the fiscal year on September 30th, there will be 1 million people who've been arrested at the border crossing illegally. That's the ones they catch. Congress, it's not that they have the inability to do comprehensive immigration reform and to actually fix this problem in the name of human decency and humanity, leave national security out of it for that part of the argument. It is not their inability, it's their unwillingness to fix this. They would rather use this as a political weapon than to actually reach out and solve this crisis that's on our border. What they're doing by this bill they're voting on tonight, which they know will go nowhere, they don't want it to go anywhere, is sort of like if a storm has blown the roof off of your house and you're pumping water out of your living room, but you haven't replaced the roof.
Yeah.
There's about 12 million, give or take, illegal immigrants in the country right now. By the end of the fiscal year, there will be another million here, and they are doing nothing to address this problem.
And we know how big these numbers are because we're seeing it now. I mean, you can see the drone images. It's not just something you read about. You can see the imagery of the amount of people at these various parts trying to cross in illegally, and that's the people that are being caught, not the people who are getting through. And it's just still a very porous border. We'll go right back to the phones. Ken in California, online one. Ken, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
Yeah, the issue I have is that the states are exacerbating the issue by creating sanctity states, or I don't know the word, but you understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the government of California has created this sanctuary state, and we've got people crossing the borders and now creating crimes, and our law enforcement aren't allowed to touch them.
Well, that's the issue, and you're talking about this issue of basically declaring the sanctuary cities, which is basically a left versus right issue, and it's an enforcement. They're just basically saying we will or won't enforce laws as a priority. So it's a way to kind of utilize a system, and then it becomes a broader kind of policy initiative. As you said, it really does make it difficult for the local law enforcement officials to act initially, even before a second crime is committed. So if there's already been the crime of illegal immigration, I mean, that's already a crime. But then they're having to wait till a second crime or if people are determined. So, but you see that if it's a state like California, and as we go into the second half hour of the broadcast, if in a state like California, you see how politicized this issue has been. And the people in the state are still electing leaders who are agreeing to make it this political, who are saying, yes, this is a left versus right issue. This has to be a partisan issue. We're going to ignore the actual issues at the border. And if people keep voting that way, and whether it's at the state level, or their federal races, or even at the municipal level where you get the sanctuary city policy, all of that ultimately will have to be decided by the American voters. And they can, I think you can push without saying even that you have to become you don't have to be become a conservative overnight to say, this is an issue we have to handle. I don't think you have to be a liberal overnight to say we also have to handle the people who are already here illegally. There's two major issues that you can handle simultaneously. We'll talk about second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live coming up.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
I think it's one of those issues when you look at the immigration issue, you look at the border crisis issue, that we're a better country than one not addressing it. You know, our standards should not be the same as Mexico's in how we can enforce, one, the rule of law, two, make sure there's not a humanitarian crisis happening in the United States of America, while at the same time, you know, we're kind of ignoring, to some extent, at least a lot of the country is ignoring that humanitarian crisis. And sometimes leaders in the states where it's happening right there in front of them, trying to place political blame instead of coming up with solutions to the issue. On this broadcast, none of us are disputing that you have to figure out what to do with people who have been here illegally. Whether you want to call them dreamers, people who were brought here as children, it's 12 million plus people. And that number is only increasing by the day when we're not handling border security. And we're not saying you have to ignore that issue, and that you have to come up with a way for some of those folks likely to have a path to permanent residency in the United States if they meet certain criteria. Republicans have been willing to do that and then have the same issue if simultaneously securing the border, so that you're not just granting this for every single year to come, but you're doing something, okay, initially handle what the issue is internally in the country and then handle what is happening on the border as well, because it will get to us. It gets to a certain point where it is, I think, as a country, it is just wrong to be in the United States of America and to have this kind of crisis. It should be embarrassing to the United States. It should be embarrassing to Democrats to only be voting on half of the issue and to not even be really debating, but to make it all about politics. It should be it should be embarrassing that we are having to have this discussion. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me go right to the phones. People have a lot to say about this. Our phone lines have been busy since the show has started. Let's go to Nancy in Texas online too. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. How are you?
Hey, we're good, Nancy.
I just wanted to make a comment about how some of our conservative groups here in the state of Texas are extremely concerned that our elected officials are sort of missing in action. Ted Cruz, John Cornyn, Greg Abbott, where are they?
I mean, listen, Ted Cruz and John Cornyn can vote. The Senate is divided. The House is not going to move forward with Nancy Pelosi as Speaker. It has been very clear, is not going to move forward with legislation that Ted Cruz or John Cornyn are ultimately going to get behind, and vice versa. I think that, again, Texas has been a state which has been, as a state government, very supportive of tough immigration laws. What you've seen, though, is still at the municipal level, city level, ultimately, sometimes that gets undermined. But I think that, again, you can put the pressure on politicians to an extent, but then I believe it ultimately is a bigger reflection on all of us, is that we can only pass the buck so far, too. Just like the House Democrats tried to go to the court to fix the issue, and because they couldn't actually fix it as Congress, I think labeling out one or two politicians, or ultimately they don't have the authority to fix this on their own. We have to do it as a country.
Yeah, Jordan, I think the only way we get there is if people on both sides of the aisle, and I mean voters, not necessarily elected officials, really give room for their elected officials to engage this issue and come up with a real solution. I mean, to the senators from Texas' credit, when that proposal came down from the White House, actually both of them were willing to engage it. And there were some things in there, Jordan, that both of them had been opposed to in the past. So actually on that proposal, I think they were really pretty good at engaging the process. But I think you're right. In order to get there, I think both senators like that, and then quite frankly, very liberal senators are also going to have to be given room by their base to engage this issue. And it's going to have to be President Trump and Speaker Pelosi and Leader Schumer. They come into a room and decide that a people crossing by the thousands, many of them children, Jordan, the crisis getting worse day by day, they are going to have to decide collectively, and they're probably going to have to be forced by their voters to do it, that the time for a solution has come.
We're going to keep taking your phone calls. What would your solutions be? And to this issue, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us live on the air. It's an issue we're not going to stop talking about. We can't stop talking about it because it is a real crisis. And I think it's an embarrassment to the United States of America, ultimately, as if we continue to let this go on without even trying to address it. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We have said, you know, we're taking people's phone calls about this on the immigration issue. We've got the cases that have come out. You know, we've got a victory. ACLJ has filed in. As we always say here, we don't just talk about these issues and bring them to your attention for political purposes or for controversial purposes. We're engaged in them. You know, the ACLJ filed in the case in D.C. opposed to Nancy Pelosi and the House of Representatives and their action. Trying to take away the president's power to use the funds that were already allocated by Congress, and that's not appropriate. The House doing it is one of the houses and not the House of the Senate. So it wasn't Congress together. Wasn't a bipartisan a challenge. And of course, Congress always has that ability to do this without courts because they've got the ability to step in and even override presidential vetoes. They always have the in-game ultimate authority. To act when there is agreement. And so on this issue on immigration, though, we're continuing to see it be such a divided issue, such a partisan issue. And I want to let people start weighing in more and more, because I think that as, again, we can, the politicians and the you know, whether it's in the presidential campaign, ultimately can take it that route. But if we allow it to just keep dividing us that way and don't actually expect them to come up with solutions, this crisis is going to get worse and worse and worse. And how many of these stories do we need to hear before we actually take action to do something about it? Let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Carl in Michigan, on line 5. Carl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. Just got a quick question. You've got a legal mind. How can Obama send billions to Iran, you know, a large terrorist nation, and Trump can't build a wall? I just don't understand that. Help me out.
Well, there was a very bizarre, just to take you back in history, and Than, a very bizarre legislative action that the Obama administration relied on by the U.S. Senate specifically on that Iran deal. That was frozen assets, so assets that were frozen by the United States government, but they were Iran's. And then ultimately the way it worked was it was like a reverse veto that Congress ultimately gave the power for the president to act that way.
Yeah, well, first of all, I would say to Carl that it doesn't make sense, but many things that come out of Washington, D.C. don't. But you're right, Jordan. These were sanctions that had, by and large, been put in place by statute. So passed by Congress, signed into law by a previous president that were in force against Iran. In order to roll those back, the previous administration, the Obama administration, was trying to strike a deal with Iran, really in the form of a treaty, Jordan. But a treaty has to be presented to the United States Senate for ratification. They knew that they could not pass that hurdle. So they convinced the United States Senate, who, by the way, yes, it was run by Republicans at the time. You can look up who the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee was. It was a Republican. The United States Senate passed a bill preemptively that said if the administration reaches an agreement with Iran, the United States Senate would have an opportunity to disapprove it. So, Jordan, it turned the supermajority required to ratify a treaty on its head and really enabled the passage of the Iran deal. So to Carl's point, does any of that make sense in a rational world? No, Jordan, it doesn't. But no, that's the way politics are played in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I mean, it's a point where, you know, when it's a tough international issue, Congress is giving up its power. And so it's in a backhanded way saying, we're actually, you know, we'll just let you administration take the heat on this. So we're gonna take away our own power to act on this issue and give up the power. And then on the domestic side, it's just ignoring what is a real crisis, trying to challenge whatever the administration does. And it becomes a political tit for tat moment. And I think makes it very difficult as a country. We talk about issues like Iran here, mm-hmm. and these serious issues, and yet we also have this serious crisis occurring on our border, and it's happening in our country as well.
Yeah, and the inertia that we're witnessing in Washington, D.C. that Than alluded to is partly because Democrats control the House of Representatives. They do not want to do anything that will give a win to this presidential administration, even if it benefits people in their own districts. And then you have this crazy 60-vote cloture rule in the Senate so that you have to have 60 votes to bring something to the floor to vote on it. The Democrats in the Senate will not vote with the Republicans there. And so you end up having this paralysis of leadership. And while this is going on, our foreign affairs suffers. And certainly, you know, the issue on the border, there are literally now hundreds of thousands of people suffering, because last month over 100,000 came across that were detained. This month, another 100,000, that's April and May. And yet Congress, partly because of the political makeup, can't fix it. And then those that can fix it are not willing to fix it. And I think it's, you know, to the previous caller's, you know, question of what can we do? Voters are going to have to really take a stand and demand accountability on this issue. And if their leader, their elected leaders will not fix it, they're going to have to elect other people, because this crazy paralysis has got to go away. There are too many things at stake.
Yeah, I mean, and then we're going to see on the issue, too, and we get right back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. But like on the tariff issue, and I don't want to dive even directly into that, but you can actually start seeing how the big business interest in Washington that may be more bipartisan the way they lobby Congress and work with Congress and on their interest, you start seeing, well, there's more bipartisan support to try and keep this, not to come up with solutions, but to just kind of handle things piecemeal. So it's, don't put in tariffs, you know, that'll affect it, you know, for, you know, two days of the stock market or for 6 months of the stock market. And it's all these short-term issues. But we see that those interests, again, all of that's got to come together where it's not just one side or the other side. And because, again, all of this can get picked apart. So the issue on, like, the tariffs can get picked apart. The issue on the authority of the president to utilize the funds already authorized by Congress gets picked apart. And you're never getting to the solution.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch the business community on the tariff issue, Jordan, because honestly, it seems like it comes down to a simple equation of whether or not their industry is getting squeezed, whether or not they're able or willing to go with the president on this tactic to endure some short-term hurt or pain in order to try to put some pressure on Mexico. So I think there's a criticism there of the business community, maybe needing to take a more comprehensive approach as well. But Jordan, I think it really circles back to the first point you made on this broadcast. It is going to take voters on both sides of the aisle giving their elected officials a little bit of space on both sides of the aisle to maybe not pander to the base, maybe come in a room together and come to a solution together. I think that's an encouragement and admonishment that could go to the business community as well. But honestly, we as voters, I think we're going to have to take it to heart on this one before we're going to be able to reach a solution, Jordan.
Sonia's calling in from Washington State on line 6. Sonia, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Good day, you guys. I just wanted to make a comment about President Obama.
Yep.
Back in 2005, he had, before he was president, he had made statements about all of the stuff with the immigration that pretty much echo everything that President Trump is saying now.
Well, yeah, I mean, the idea of the securing our border wasn't as partisan until, I think, what happened was President Trump, who kind of was a bigger campaign than just Republican and Democrat, seized on this issue and realized that there was a universal appeal on the border security issue, that it did, it impacted people, that message to voters impacted people bigger than just Republican and Democrat. And President Obama likely knew that as well. So President Trump focused our attention on it. And then the left tried to say, well, now that we're focusing attention on it now, and that people actually responded to that message and voters responded to that message, we have to make this partisan. So if you first, it was even acknowledging that there was a crisis of illegal immigration. I mean, I remember, Wes, just probably a year ago, there are articles saying, well, we don't actually have an illegal immigration problem anymore in the country. Mm-hmm. There's less illegal immigration coming through. And now it is just completely out of control. But it's taken, again, it took people actually going down and seeing it for themselves, because they were telling us, no, you're making up. You're trying to be this xenophobic and trying to come up with this idea that we need a wall when there's not an issue. And now no one is debating whether there's an issue anymore. I mean, it's kind of unique. We have moved the ball that forward, is that no one's debating if there's a crisis anymore. That's not a controversial term.
Yeah, all last year, they accused the president of manufacturing this crisis.
Yeah.
You know, it is obviously not manufactured. When you have all of these people crossing the border, many of them not being arrested or detained, they simply slip through, and others who come across, and we literally do not have the facilities to house all of them and to process all of them. I mean, earlier this year, the president asked for some money, just, it was, I think, $1.8 million or something, just to deal with the humanitarian crisis there, to help the people who are waiting to be processed. And Congress would not work with the president even on that. They're allowing their personal and political agendas to override public interest and legitimate humanitarian concerns. And you were right earlier when you said this is an embarrassment. The rest of the world is watching this. And we are a better nation than this, but you would not know it from the inaction of our congressional leadership.
Folks, when we come back in our final segment of the broadcast, we take your phone calls, and we've even spent more time diving into this. So if you're on the line, hang on. We will get to your phone calls. We've opened up a couple lines as well. Continuing to have this discussion with you, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air, to be part of the live broadcast. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I want you to know, the ACLJ... We don't just talk about these issues on the radio broadcast. We are involved in the cases, filing the briefs. So these are not just talking about it. We're doing something about it. But there is a broader issue here. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. You know, our final segment, I think every opportunity we have. So we had the court case last night, came out of the D.C. The D.C. District Court, federal court. The judge there determined that the House of Representatives doesn't have the power on their own to challenge the president. They don't have standing to challenge the president's use of funds that they've authorized, that there's political remedies to that, and that it's not going to be up to the courts, a separate branch of government, to step in and solve that for the House when combined Congress can decide how its funds are utilized. And they're never giving up that power and can ultimately even override a president's veto. So they've got the ultimate say in how funds are used. We always talk about Congress having that power of the purse. And so that it's up to them and not courts to come in. So, but I do think that when these issues arise, whether it's a victory for the Trump administration, as it was, and the ACLJ supported that, we were involved in the case, that you have to use it as an opportunity to also look at why are we having these cases? Why is this such a hot button issues, if you will, and as a country addressing the issues too? And I want to go right to the phones. People have been holding on to discuss this issue that we're dealing with. Let's go right to Gary in Indiana on line one. Gary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Gary.
My comment, and I guess I don't understand the part of the illegals and folks wanting to come here for a better life, but yet if they would understand what the far left is wanting, they're wanting socialism. How are they going to have a better life under socialism than what they just came from? So I guess maybe they don't understand how far the left is and where they're headed with this socialism thing. It's not going to make a better life for anyone here.
No, I mean, I think it's a pretty good example. If the government can't figure out for you, so if your U.S. government, your state governments on these borders too, and the cities can't handle this problem, do you really want them running more of your life? Because if they're not handling it for people who are not citizens, who are people coming in illegally, breaking laws that already exist, and they can't figure that out, it's, again, authorizing, giving up more of the power over your life to these kind of government leaders, and everything becomes a partisan issue. Wes, that is, again, I think that if we look at these big picture items, it does make a lot of sense. Why do we have these humanitarian crises mm-hmm. that we're dealing with? Because of policies that were put mm-hmm. in place that we're still not acknowledging in our own country would be disastrous and cause, again, crises, whether it's mm-hmm. looking at a country like Venezuela, looking at why these migrants are mostly coming in from Central America. It's all ineffective government, whether
Absolutely.
It's socialism, cronyism, or just again, over-promising people and not being able to deliver.
Yeah, you know, any government bureaucracy that is out there, they are known for mismanagement and ineptitude. You know, there's that old adage, you know, the 10 most frightening words in the English language, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you, yeah. you know. And what I look at this, it is so unfair what is going on at the border, and it's lacking of compassion. Lacking compassion for those who are traveling to get here and all that they suffer along the way, and then they suffer when they're held at the border. It's lack of compassion for the Border Patrol officers who have to deal with this. And I spoke with one of their members here just 3 weeks ago, and they said it is heartbreaking what is going on down there, and yet they are powerless to fix it. Congress has the ability to fix it, but they won't. So it's really unfair to the American people who look to their elected officials to fix the problem, something that we all know they have the power. They have the ability to fix this, but they're unwilling to do it due to blatant political agendas. That is so wrong.
Yeah. Let's go to Catherine in California online, too. Catherine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
No, hi, Jay. First of all, I've been on the phone listening to everybody talking, and I don't understand why we're still talking about this. We are way beyond a humanitarian crisis. I live in California. I see it. I see these people on the streets already. I don't understand why the president has not acted. I mean, this is an invasion. This is a war. We have drug cartels controlling this, from what I've read and heard.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody on TV.
Well, here's part of the reason, though, Catherine. I would say every time the president acts, he's opposed. So he's either opposed by your state government, like in California, and the funds get tied up. So that the president was willing to act, but California's got a preliminary injunction, which happened out of the case on building the border wall. And so California's part of that. So your state is standing in the way. So again, I think we have to decide as a country that we're going to address this, because we keep giving it to the political process. It's going to be this back and forth. So every time you get a kind of any unilateral action to handle the problem, which our president said, you know, ultimately, I can't allow this to happen under my watch. I've got to do something. And yet every time he steps in, you get challenged. And so it becomes, again, you can take the first step, but then the second step, so you get the states challenging you, the cities challenging you. This is the former head of Customs and Border Enforcement under the Obama administration. Just take a listen, Byte 13.
Certainly the numbers reflect a crisis, not only a humanitarian crisis, but a logistical crisis also. And to not admit that is a mistake, because it has to be dealt with.
And I think that's the way it should be dealt with, is looking at it as basic, as looking at the statistics, looking at numbers, looking at what you've got to handle. And again, not letting it just become this political back and forth, political football, if you will. Let's go to Rob in Utah, online 3. Rob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Rob.
I got a couple of points to make, and then I just wanted to say what I think Trump could do in sanctuary cities. I'm a naturalized citizen. I'm a former law enforcement officer. I had a son deported 2 years ago for overstaying his visa. Even though his citizenship was approved, he was on a 6-year waiting list.
Yep.
But in law enforcement, we're dealing with the illegal aliens. They're overwhelming law enforcement. And in Salt Lake City, I had a illegal alien tried to commit a homicide against me and a highway patrolman. A few months later, we were able to apprehend him in the act of committing a rape of a 14-year-old girl. He never spent one day really in prison. They deported him, only for him to return just a few months later.
Yeah, and we've heard these stories. I mean, that is the issue, is unfortunately, of even the repeat criminals coming in, carrying out one horrendous act, and so it's an attempted murder, and then carrying out, another crime. And ultimately, you know, we don't have the space to house individuals like this. Our systems are overrun, so you get the people re-released onto the street.
Yeah, I mean, it serves as a magnet to people who want to come here. I don't fault people for wanting to come to the greatest nation on earth, but it's a magnet when our immigration laws are so broken that they know if they get here and they have children that they cannot be processed. They'll be giving a notice to come back in a year or two, and they don't come back, and they melt into our society. It's really a problem, because if they would fix the laws and fix the immigration system and have real border security, this problem would go away.
Let's take the final call of the day very quickly. John in Michigan has been holding online for. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Quickly, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thank you. My comment is that these issues are not just issues for border states, border communities, and sanctuary cities. I live in very, very rural Michigan, and I was in the audience in a courtroom recently, and a district court judge released a man, an illegal alien, who committed assault. He was on charges of assault, destruction of property, resisting arrest.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the issue. So it's happening everywhere. Just cutting you off because we are running out of time. We'll continue to talk about it and take action on Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.